I pray that I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A bishop in the mid-20th century, Henry Montgomery Campbell, was known to try his hand at poetry. In his will, it was discovered he had left one of his poems to be read out to all of his clergy on his death. It was short and simply said, "Tell my priests when I am gone, O me to shed no tears, for I shall be no deader then than they have been for years." Well, it's true that not all clergy are fireflies in the dark night of this world. I knew one very grumpy vicar in London who told me that his motto in life was, "Start each day with a smile, get it over with." However, I have tried this term to invite preachers, lay and ordained, with a bit more of a fizz about them, and I've asked them each to look at a live public debate and to ask whether the Christian tradition has any particular wisdom to bring to it or not. When in doubt, I always think it's good to err on the side of provocation. And so these debates include Brexit, populist politics, refugees, and next Sunday, well-being, with Guy Stagg, a young Cambridge graduate who decided to walk from Canterbury to Jerusalem via Rome and Istanbul, a journey taken with some painful mental health to see whether he might discover any inspiration from religion on the way. And this evening, I wanted to alert us to what has been called truth decay. I mentioned this title to a fellow over a noisy lunch the other day, and he, slightly mishearing, thought I would be preaching tonight on the benefits of fluoride. But no. I'm wanting to ask whether, as a society, we are losing interest in truth. Whether the idea of there being objective truth, facts, are now less important to us than opinions, crisis chatter, infotainment. Is to be interesting more important than being right? Is there a declining value in accuracy as society's reserve currency? Is what matters not veracity, but impact? Is dishonesty, therefore, not held to account as it once was? Is lying just a laugh that amuses us by messing up a system of value? Now, it's tempting to blame some political and state leaders if this is our situation. Some of them, as you know, tend to campaign in graffiti and then govern in tweets. Some seem to think that what is truthful is merely what reinforces the mood of the crowd, even alternative facts. History, thankfully, is peppered with those who warn us about such political manipulation. Alexander Hamilton, for instance, one of America's founding fathers, argued for a system of constitutional checks and balances to guard against the possibility, and I now quote him, of a man unprincipled in private life and bold in his temper, one day arising who might mount the hobby horse of popularity and flatter and fall in with all the nonsense of the zealots of the day in order to embarrass the government and throw things into confusion that he may ride the storm and direct the whirlwind." Wow, imagine that. Perhaps that's why it was always important to believe that the first president, George Washington, said, "I cannot tell a lie." As you know, those such as George Orwell and Hannah Arendt warned from experience that totalitarian rule ultimately takes hold by slow injections of falsity that people then begin to repeat. And so, for all practical purposes, Orwell concluded, the lie will have become the truth. It spreads and leads to a general distrust of experts, The belief that, say, science, if inconvenient somehow, is a conspiracy. And historical studies that don't back up your arguments can be revised. Journalism begins to reflect a selfie stick culture, seemingly holding things at an objective distance, but actually only reflecting yourself at the end of the day. Religion, too, can hide its darker truths with pious religio-speak or some deference to authority and expect the congregations to say amen. If there is anything to what I'm saying, this is a dangerous place to find ourselves. In the gospel reading we just heard, Pilate asks Jesus, "What is truth?" But he doesn't hang around to find out the answer. After all, the crowd is putting on the pressure outside. A college such as this is built to ask the same question, "What is truth?" But then to stick around together to pursue the answer. A college is one of the antidotes to any fashion of falsity. A group of people committed to the pursuit of truth, in dialogue, in fellowship, each ready to be corrected when necessary, passionate about accuracy, fearless in seeing past and present, and researching into the as yet unknown. And a chapel in a college must be part of that commitment, open, generous, not defensive, but a partner, equally curious for truth. I've always suspected that religion works best, not when trying to answer questions, but questioning answers. I want this space to be used for reverent worship, but also for honest, questioning dialogue. An inclusive chapel community must always be unafraid to reason and unashamed to adore. And I also want this chapel to remind us that truth has other forms than facts, that sometimes truth is far too important to be literalistic about. The truth that is expressed artistically, musically, in narrative, in myth, is the truth that is always part of the human inner landscape. The sense of life as a fragile gift, the unignorable intrusions of mystery when love or loss enter it, the intuition that somehow we need saving from ourselves by a love both beyond and within. I believe that when we walk in here, we walk into a poem. The liturgy is poetry in motion, and we fail to understand its beauty if we miss its density of suggestion, the eavesdropping on the soul, the sensitive state of consciousness that its poetry can prompt. We are not spectators here. We're pursuing the truths that translate into living. For this place was built to celebrate the fact that we have each here been given a great gift. It is our being, and the gift we're asked to give back in return for it is our becoming, who we become. And as St. Ambrose tells us, it did not suit God to save his people through logic. The truths that transform us are embodied in richly suggestive, provocative, often artistic forms, and through receptive insight, in the truths we learn in human encounter, when we dare to take off those masks that are eating into our faces, and primarily for Christians, of course, encountering the person of Jesus Christ is the most freeing and fresh truth of all. Today, if we don't stand for something, we might well fall for anything. Stand for truth, for a reverence of language and its proper use. Don't be seduced by quick clarity. Difficulty can be very fruitful. There mustn't be any triumph of the deceptively simple over the honestly complex. So finally, one Christian contribution from Martin Luther King on this subject. Expediency asks the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but one must take it because one's conscience tells one it is right.